Hi, I'm Anthony Brabazon, and this is the God Talk programme for the next half hour on 90.3 Near FM, where we'll be grappling with the big questions of life from a biblical perspective. And our text number during the programme, it's 087-979-5454. I would love to hear from you. And you can also email in on nearfmgodtalk@gmail.com. And on Twitter, you can get us at nearfmgodtalk. So that opening piece of music, actually, was Rita Connolly singing at the Special Olympics opening in Dublin a number of years ago. And if ever you look at that on YouTube, it was a really special moment, very exciting and great piece of music, I have to say. Many of you who remember John Manning, who did this programme before us, the late John Manning, or I should say the late great John Manning, he had a granddaughter who was physically handicapped, and the Special Olympics were very close to his heart, and I've no doubt that's why the team came in to God Talk. So it couldn't be better, really, all things told. So at this point in time, you might have gathered that Paul is not with me. Have we lost him up another mountain? Well, actually, I think he's over in the UK somewhere, over in Shropshire. So hi to you, Paul, and your friends over there. And hope you're having a great time and great break. And we will have you back next week. We're going to lasso you, kidnap you and drag you in, kicking and screaming back in here to the studio next week. So looking forward to that one. And greetings go out to a few other people today, to Manus and Vota and Carl, and also Sean Cronin, and a birthday boy from yesterday, Mr. Jim Feely, and also Mick O'Brien, who does that wonderful program on a Sunday morning. Mick dragging us all, or getting us out of the bed, not dragging us out. And of course, I want a special greetings to Billy Jago, and I'll be over for that cup of tea later with you, Billy. And finally, to the backroom staff at Near FM, hi to you there. And right, so today, boy, do I have something very, very interesting lined up. And it's really under the theme of what's special about Christianity, you know, or another heading for it would be, do all roads lead to God? And, you know, with the myriad of religions and philosophies out there in Ireland, a common statement that you often hear from people, maybe you've said it yourself, is that all roads lead to God. Here on the God Talk, however, programme, we examine questions from a biblical perspective. And perhaps this would be a good time to lay down a few definitions as we see it. And when we speak of God, it would be helpful to clarify, you know, what are we talking about? We're talking about... See, the term God is like a generic term. People use it for all sorts of things. God, they may think of themselves as God, or they may think God is the great universal consciousness, or they may think all of these sort of things. But we're speaking about the Judeo-Christian God, the God of the Trinity, the Creator God. That's the Trinity being Father, Son and Holy Spirit. The one true God as revealed by Jesus Christ. And in a lot of our upbringings and educations, you know, we might get scraps and bits of information about that. But very often we get a lot of humanism and philosophy tossed in the mix. So we don't always get that real grounding that we perhaps deserve to get. So let me just kind of try and generalize this in a very simple way, because I'm not going to, much to your relief, dear listeners, you're not going to listen to me go through every world religion and what's wrong with it. But I will say generally that the philosophies and religions target the establishment of virtue in man by one way or another. See, most people know that mankind ain't perfect. In fact, mankind can be pretty terrible on a bad day. And that the establishment of virtue in mankind is something that's a target of most philosophies and religions. And this too has crept into Christian religions, the idea that we can make men better. Now, I don't know about you, dear listener, but sometimes you've something and it just ain't working. And you try and fix this stupid thing, you know, and you spend a lot of time and a lot of effort. And let me give you an example. Just say you have an old banger of a car and it's really clapped out, this machine. It's just kind of on its last legs, and you bought it for about €200, and it's your first car maybe. A lot of people can identify with this story. And there comes a time when you know, you keep going to the mechanic and the mechanic breaks the news to you that you're going to either spend 3,000 to fix the major engine part or else just get a new car. And the penny drops that the car doesn't need renewal anymore. It actually needs replacement at this stage. And very often the philosophies of this world are all about renewing you and getting you a bit better. But it's like a clapped out banger that's ready for the scrappage scheme. There is no hope for it. And it's in that context that we have the Christian message, where we've these in the Bible. And I'm going to read you a short little bit of it from the book of Philippians, one of Paul's letters, where he talks about two types of virtue. Now, I'm doing my best here to avoid the big words, because there's a big word out there called righteousness. But I think virtue is a good substitute for it. So there's two types of virtue. And I'm reading from Philippians chapter 3. It says, if someone else thinks they have reasoned, this is Paul speaking now, if someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, that's themselves, of course, or their achievements, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regards to the law, a Pharisee. Now, remember this, the Pharisees were like the elite, you know, they were like the cutting edge guys who just got everything more correct than anybody else. So here was Paul saying he was a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. And as for righteousness based on the law, faultless. Now, you got to get the picture here. Paul is just outlining where he was coming from. That as far as he could see, he hadn't done anything wrong. He was just a top guy, a top Pharisee. He was a Hebrew. He was circumcised in the eighth day, you know, and he was faultless with regard to the law. He then says this, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Now, if you heard our program last week, the podcast will be up very soon. I'm sorry about the delay on that one. But Kimberly, we did an interview with Kimberly Wallace. It was a very touching interview. And she talked about relationship with Jesus at the very end of the interview. And she was virtually crying, saying, how could anyone live without Jesus? Because of her life experiences, she had suffered suicide bereavement, finding her husband had taken her life. She had been through horrific things as a child and rejections and near death and everything. You know, she had been through a terminal cancer, but she survived that and was healed. And she'd been through so much stuff. But she said her testimony was, I couldn't have done it without the Lord Jesus. And so Paul here in this scripture, he says, he says, for whose sake, speaking about Jesus, I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Now, I know we're on a family program here because we're in the middle of the day, but I want to focus on this word garbage because that is the softest and tamest translation they can give to the original word. And the original word is to do with, how can I say this? A part of the... It's to do with human waste, right, of the solid variety. And so it is like that is how Paul viewed his life prior to Jesus. All the good works. He thought there are a whole load of SH1T, or if you're Irish, put an E on the end of that. And that's what he was talking about. That's the comparison of all the good works. Now, he said then, Paul, he said, not having a righteousness or a virtue of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Jesus Christ. The righteousness or virtue that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and the participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Paul here is talking about two types of virtue. And this is where Christianity differs from all world religions and even many so-called Christian religions, because a lot of nominal Christians live their lives like other religious people. They just do their best and try and kind of improve a bit here, a bit there. But the truth is that God knew there was a dilemma. He knew there was a problem. And the principal problem was this, that God is loving, but he's also holy. And that means that he can't get to heaven because we're not good and we're rotten. We've broken the law. We can't just say sorry and be forgiven just by saying sorry. But there's a price that has to be paid. And what happened in when Jesus went to that cross is he paid our bill for us. It's like he was a substitution. He got what we deserved. And let me just say, death on a cross is a pretty rough thing, to put it very mildly. But we deserve the separation from God, but yet he took it. And when he died, he proved what he'd said by his resurrection. So, you know, he proved he was God. He wasn't just another teacher or another philosopher or another leader. No. This Jesus Christ was different to all. And, you know, after the break, I'm going to talk about some of the uniqueness about Jesus Christ, which is really worth considering. So I'm going to move on here because I want to talk briefly about, you know, there's something I came across about that very first statement I made at the outset, which was, oops, hold on a bit. It's on a piece of paper. What did I say at the beginning? Do all roads lead to God? You know, while what you believe about God right now doesn't matter one bit regarding whether you'll eventually meet him or not, when you do come face to face with your Creator, what you believe about him and what you have done with his truth will matter greatly one nanosecond afterwards. You see, while all roads lead to God, only one road leads to his forgiveness, mercy, grace and eternal life. All other roads lead to his judgment. This is by his design. If there were any other way or road that led to God's place of forgiveness, then Jesus wouldn't have gone to the cross. In the garden, the Son said, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me," in Matthew 26. And if any other road was visible, Jesus would have been given it that time. Instead, Jesus went to the cross and he took on himself the sins of those who put their trust in him and delivers us from the wrath of God that falls rightly on those who ignore his gift. This is why he calls himself the way in John 14 and not a way, and why he describes himself as the door in John 7 and not just one door of many. And when we say it's only through Jesus that eternal life with God is possible, we're not being arrogant or intolerant or narrow-minded, because to speak the truth is the most loving thing a person can do. And when the only man ever to die, go into the grave, walk back out and stay that way, says he is the only way, the truth and the only life, where God is concerned, we listen. So if you haven't done so already, you should, you know, just listen to the voice of the Lord if he's speaking to your heart, because how many others have got up out of the grave? Particularly how many others who've made the claims that Jesus made? Well, none really. Jesus is completely unique. And having said that, there's so many aspects of his life. All I'm going to be able to do in the remaining time is sort of touch on some of them. Touch on is one of them is the uniqueness of his birth. You may remember, if you heard the stories, that Jesus was a virgin birth, meaning that Mary was a young maiden. She was engaged, as was the custom of the day. But guess what? She found there was a, as they say in North Dublin, there was a bun in the oven, you know, and she was pregnant. She was expecting. And this was a scandal and an outrage, but it happened supernaturally. There was a visitation she had from God, and she became pregnant. And the really amazing thing is that there is a very rare physical phenomenon that can happen where the cells can divide and somebody becomes pregnant, but what happened without sexual intercourse. In that very rare situation, the child is born is always female because it's the female chromosomes that are reproducing. But in this case, it's an absolute miracle because Jesus was a man and it was a virgin birth. So there was this really made some people stand up and wake up. Now, the circumstances of his birth, I could go on with a lot of detail about this, but I really want to kind of move on to touch on some of the other things, which is the uniqueness of his ministry and his miracles. We've got great sort of prophets and sages and world religion leaders, without mentioning them by name, of different groups, and none of them had a ministry anyway close to Jesus Christ. None of them fulfilled prophecy, and none of them did the miracles, the types of miracles that he did. And we're talking about raising the dead, Lazarus in the tomb. He was not just dead 10 minutes and not just kind of possibly fainted and buried a bit early. No. His sister actually said to Jesus, "He stinketh," in the King James. He stinks, and that's what happens when the body starts to decompose. So if there was any doubt about the death of Lazarus, there was no doubt, because he was completely dead and stinking and rotting. And at that point in time, it was even after 3 days that Jesus rose him from the dead. And what a story that one in itself. There were so many things about his ministry. He calmed the sea. You remember, out on the water, the fishermen, they were experts on the water. They knew everything about the sea and the, but they were actually afraid of their lives with this particular storm. It was so bad. And where was Jesus? Well, he was in the boat. But what was he doing? He was sleeping. He was calmly sleeping. And then they woke him up and he said, "Jesus, don't you care? We're perishing." And Jesus got up and he rebuked the wind and the waves and it went calm. And they were absolutely flabbergasted that he had the power over the sea. Now, when we look at the overall tenet of Scripture, we're not surprised at that, because he is the Creator God. Jesus made the heavens and the earth, so he had power over them and he was able to exercise that power. So, as I say, the uniqueness of Jesus, he was pretty unique. I sometimes say to people when I'm talking to them on the street about the Lord, I'd say, maybe they'd come on, they would put Mary in front of Jesus. They would say, "She's more virtuous." And I would say, well, Jesus was the only one who was older than his mother, because Jesus existed before his birth. Now, that's a hard one for your head to get around. But the point is that he came to earth as a baby and grew up to be a man. But he existed before, and he was there right at the creation. You can read about it in Genesis. So he was unique in his ministry and his miracles. He was unique, Jesus was, in his death. There was crucifixion was prophesied way back before crucifixion was even carried out by anybody. And in the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, you can read about that. That's a chapter that's often left out of the annual Jewish readings because it's so pointed towards Jesus Christ, full of prophecy that he would carry our sins and etc. So his death was unique on the cross, and nobody in crucifixion had died so quickly. He died after 6 hours. He gave up his spirit. He had the power to do that. So again, nobody can do that. He died at an exact time when the sacrifices were happening at the in the temple, where there was so much bloodletting of innocent blood of the lamb, and this was all a forerunner for himself. So there's so much kind of happening together at the same time. It's remarkable beyond words. Coincidence? It ain't. It was part of God's design and God's plan. But the resurrection of Jesus Christ is something that's unique. We spoke about Lazarus getting up from the dead. But here's Jesus. Before he died, he prophesied that he would die, and 3 days later he'd be risen. And I can imagine there might have been a few sniggers that day and people not believing him when he said it. But afterwards, the one interesting thing about the resurrection is the evidence was so clear, and yet the hard hearts of many of the religious people and the leaders of the day just didn't want to know about it. And it's true today that the evidence can be presented very clearly in front of people, but with a hard heart, they can reject it and just not want to know about it. And just being frank for a minute, I think, and we're all guilty of it, including myself, we can be so full of prejudice that we just, whatever we hear, we just don't want to know. But I will pray, and I would hope, dear listener, that you maybe consider something that you haven't considered before. Consider about the uniqueness of Jesus Christ, And of course, his ascension was unique, his ascension to heaven, bodily ascension to heaven. So in the uniqueness of Jesus, it was all for a purpose, not to put on some big show to impress people. No, it was for a personal reason. That when he was on that cross and he bled and died, it was with your name and his heart and his mind that you could have a new hope, a new start. Like the old car, you don't bandage up the old broken down car. You go and get a new Ferrari, you know, straight out of the box. You know, that's like a new heart that God gives you, one that is perfect and good. And so I'm going to kind of wrap it up there, you know, because probably giving you a lot of stuff there. I was talking, do all roads lead to God? In one sense, they do. But then there's a judgment because every knee will bow. Everyone will come to Jesus Christ. But it's those who put their trust in what he has done for them, that he has died for their sins, and you can receive the new life. So that's something you can do personally. I'm not going to pray a prayer right now for that. But the prayer I will pray is this. It's out of Jesus's prayer book. And we have this most programs, and we're going to look at a psalm or part of a psalm. It's Psalm, one of my favourites actually. It's Psalm 103, and it starts like this. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust." So on those words, we're going to wrap it up for today. You have been listening to God Talk on 90.3 Near FM. As I say, text us in. The text line is 24/7. It's 087-979-5454. And you can listen back to this program on the website nearfm.ie. The podcast will be up in a few days. And you can listen to prior programs as well. And give us comments on them if you wish. But I want to thank you all very much for listening in and joining me on this journey today on the program. And I hope you've been blessed and challenged with the word we have today. So God bless you all.